This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Last Sunday, we talked about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Today, we'll consider our resurrection from the dead. Do you have some thoughts? Stay tuned. We'll take a look at what the Word of God has to say about that subject. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that again today we can pray to the living Lord. For we have been reaffirmed again in this great, great biblical truth, this revelation that you live, and because you live, we too shall live. God, help us today to ponder some of these thoughts that are recorded in your word regarding our own resurrection, the gift that you have given to us, the new body that shall be ours, the eternal life that shall be ours. Oh God, these are some of your greatest gifts to us that sometimes we do not even consider. So today, speak to us mightily through your word. That's our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Christ,
friends in Christ, if you belong to a church where confessing your faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed is a part of the worship service, you say, quote, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." Let me ask you, what do those words mean to you? Now, I know that we use them repetitiously, and sometimes they lose their meaning, we just gloss over them. But as you stop and think of it, what did you really mean last Sunday when you confessed, "I believe in a resurrection of the body"? If you belong to a church that does not include the Apostles' Creed in your worship service, but you take the Bible seriously, the resurrection of the body is a basic doctrine in your faith, and it shapes your understanding of God. It shapes your understanding of your death. It shapes your own understanding of resurrection. So what I'd like to do today, since we talked about Christ's resurrection last Sunday, I'd like to talk about our resurrection this Sunday. And one of the best places in all the Bible to turn for such a discussion is the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and note some of the very inspired thoughts of St. Paul as he talks to us on this subject. Now, we have to remember that Paul was the first New Testament writer to record what had been preached about the resurrection for years. This account, that is 1 Corinthians 15, was not the first to really talk about the resurrection, but the first record of it. It was written at least 15 years before the earliest gospel. Now you might ask yourself, well, where did St. Paul get this information? Is it something that he dreamt up and does not have the authority that other portions of the Word of God has? Not at all. Paul had heard the believers in Jesus Christ talk about the resurrection. He had heard them say that Christ appeared to them, and he goes on and lists all of those. 500 people heard it, and so forth and so on, and saw the Lord. All of that is in that account of 1 Corinthians 15, which we cannot cover completely today, but get just some of the high points of it. Now, what we have to say is that God also had a way to speak to Paul personally. You know, after his conversion, Paul went away into Arabia. And there was about 3 years between the time of his conversion and his return to be with some of the Christians. Probably most of that time was spent in Arabia. And during that time, God could have been speaking to him. And he could have been saying, look, Paul, these things I want you to write down, that it did not come simply from what he had heard about the preaching of the resurrection from others, but that it was a direct revelation. God had given Paul that gift. He was an apostle, and one of the distinctive features of the apostle was that he could receive a message from God, such as we today do not receive. So, Paul goes on to talk about the resurrection. Now, I think we also have to understand that Paul once wrote in this same letter to the Corinthians, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." In other words, there are certain parts of Paul's writings where he is far more definite than he is in others. For example, when he talks about that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, that's definite, no question about it. But here he says, well, we know in part. And so it's in that sense of the word that we preach this sermon today based on that great inspired word from the apostle. Even Dr. William Barclay, a noted biblical theologian, has said, Paul is talking about things that no one really knows anything about. There are things in Scripture that we know a great deal about, and so the Scripture just builds on these facts. But when it comes to the matter of our resurrected body, maybe there we have to say that we do not have as definite a description of what is going to happen as we do that we're going to be there in heaven because Christ died for us. But that does not mean that we should leave the subject alone. We need to explore it. And so I'd like to take a few verses from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 42. And it reads like this, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead." That's you and me. "The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." And so here we begin with what that body of ours will be like one day when we live in heaven with the Father. One thing we know beyond all doubt, and that is we are going to be raised. How do we know it? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has said it. Remember that day when he was visiting with his good friend Martha? And Martha said to him, "Lord, my brother and your good friend Lazarus is dead." How did Jesus answer her? He came back and said, "Martha, your brother shall rise again." What does that do? It tells us that we have a right to say that we are going to have one day a new body. It is on the basis of what our Lord Jesus Christ has said. I can't understand it. No theologian can understand it. But on the basis of what Jesus Christ has said, we can comfort those who are dying. We can comfort those who are mourning the loss of a loved one by saying, your loved one is going to rise again. That's the important dogmatic statement that we cannot leave for a minute. We are going to have a new body, but there are some details yet to be made known when we enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, one of the questions that I am often asked, and I know that you perhaps asked it to some pastor or to some friend, are we going to recognize one another in heaven? Now, that's a very emotional question. And to say, well, we can't be too sure, we don't know for sure, often brings about a great rebuff. The average person who is mourning thinks, you know, I'm going to be standing at the door. And when my children or my parents or whoever it may be comes through that door into the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to be right there to meet them, as if we knew exactly what would happen. I'm not opposed to that kind of thinking. I think we need it at that time. There's such a strong element of truth in it. To the loved one who has died, trusting in Jesus Christ, is going to be there in heaven, and we're going to meet him or her. Said, why not take the comfort and why not let our imagination go, but realize that it is our imagination. Here in verse 36 of this marvelous passage of Scripture, Paul helps us to some extent by telling us that it's like a seed that is put into the ground. Now, it won't be long before you begin, perhaps some of you have already done it, putting seed into the ground. It's going to burst forth with a beautiful plant one day. That's something of what it's like. When we lay the body to rest, out of dust hast thou come, unto dust shalt thou arise. But we have placed into the ground the seed. And the seed one day, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, will burst forth with a beautiful new body. As a seed came forth as a plant, so the seed will come forth as a new body. There is a vast difference in how the seed looks and the plant that comes forth. Our bodies will die, and when they rise, they may look entirely different, but the fact remains it is the same life, the same seed. Even if I can't recognize that loved one right away, he or she is the same person. He or she is mother or dad. It's the same seed, but you may not recognize right away. You remember Jesus? He had a good friend. Her name was Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene was one of the first ones to come out to the tomb and to anoint the body of our Lord. When she got there, she looked into the tomb, and the tomb was empty, and the others disappeared, but she stayed by the tomb, and pretty soon somebody who she thought was a gardener was standing there, and And she was crying, and he says, "Why are you crying?" And she uttered those words, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. Show me where he is, and I'll take care of him." And then it was that the person she thought was the gardener said to her, "Martha." And she said, "Rabboni." And she wanted to embrace him, and Jesus said, "No, not now." In other words, she stood talking to Jesus face to face. She did not recognize him, but all he had to do was say one word, and it was revealed to her that he was the same Jesus, the resurrected Lord. He walked through doors that were locked. He didn't do that when he was here the first 33 years. They didn't know him. And then he began to speak to them. When he ate with them in Emmaus with the two disciples, it was then that they knew him. They had walked along the way. So can I gather from this that I'll know my loved ones? My loved ones will be there. They'll be the same people, but I may have trouble to begin with knowing, recognizing. But we shall be there if we have died in Christ Jesus to live together forever. That's one revelation. The Bible goes on then and says in these words that I have read to you, there are differences in the resurrected body. For example, in verse 42, it says that the body is sown perishable. It is raised imperishable. What does that really mean? It means that the beauty fades away and the strength diminishes. We don't look the same at 45 that we did at 20. If you don't believe that, go back to a 50th anniversary of your high school class. And here you see some of these handsome and beautiful people. And suddenly you can see that the years have done something to them, right? The beauty fades away and the strength diminishes, but it's the same person. Now, in the new body, there is a permanence. The beauty remains the beauty and the strength remains strong. So that we have as an understanding. We know that whatever we look like, it will continue to the end, and there is no end. It will continue for all eternity. In verse 43, St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, the body is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. While we're here on this earth, we can, and we do, bring on dishonor to ourselves, our passion, our emotions, our appetites can be bad, and they bring dishonor. If I viciously attack somebody, I am bringing dishonor to myself. That is not the way that the Lord Jesus wants me to live. That will not happen in eternity. In heaven, there will be no sin. You and I will be without sin. Isn't that a marvelous insight? Just live with that, friend. Hate the sin that is within you now and say, thanks be to God. The day will come when I will not be filled with sin. He goes on to say, the body is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. We talk a great deal today about the power of the human being. And from our point of view, there is such a thing as a powerful human being. But I wonder if really, from the standpoint of eternity, we should not talk about the weakness of the human being. We are very limited people. With all the accomplishments that we are able to pride ourselves in, we are limited intellectually. We are limited physically. Just take the day of which you and I are apart. There are no political innuendos in this. But I believe that those whom we criticize the most, as far as the war is concerned in Iraq, in the depth of their soul, they want to have this war over. They want to have a stopping to this killing. Why not then? They don't know how to do it. The greatest military person's mind cannot comprehend it all. We don't know the enemy with whom we are fighting. We don't know how he thinks. We are limited. How to live at peace with each other? How to win the victory over some of these diseases that continually afflict us? Oh, friend, let's not kid ourselves. We are pretty weak people. But that which is sown in weakness will be raised in power. And there will be none of these unanswered questions, for our intellect will be quite different than it is today. And finally, he says, it is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. While we are here, we are imperfect people. The Holy Spirit can use us, but only up to a certain bit, and then we resist him and we turn away from him. But not so when it comes to the heavenly body. There, God can use us in limitless ways. Well, all of this shows us that life beyond the grave is certainly superior to living here on this earth, no matter how good it is. That's why St. Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ, but to die, that's gain." We talked last week about how it's another step up when Jesus Christ lives in our hearts and we know that he walks with us and he will bring us safely home to heaven. You and I who live with a risen Lord are fortunate people. Life has become new, but it's going to be a much bigger jump when we leave here and enter into the heavenly home with a new body. Now note, friend, St. Paul was speaking to people who died trusting in Jesus Christ. This is not addressed to the unbeliever who has rejected Christ. If you died trusting in Jesus Christ, your new body has been described in part in these verses. But if you have no faith in Christ and you continually turn your back on him, and that's the way it is when you die, then just remember this. That is an eternity away from God and all of his blessings. And so my plea today to you who are not believers in Christ is to think about this seriously and to realize that God's greatest gift to you are not these material things that we have here, and they are great, but it is to have that new body in the heavenly home. Come to him, friend. Confess your sins. Trust him, and you will be his forever. Amen. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we pray that through your word, you will create faith where there is no faith, and you will strengthen faith in Christ Jesus where there is faith. Help us to understand that the greatest blessings from our Father are yet to come. In his name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have need to listen. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time on 18 stations across the country, shortwave across North America, Europe, and internet access around the world. We thank all who support us with their prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. If you wish, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484 or 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.